how many of you know that we are in the book of Galatians? Yeah, on my desk there are multiple stacks of notes and Bibles and thoughts, and I'm getting ready. And to tell you the truth, we're into the book of Galatians, and I'll just try to be as quickly. I won't, no disclaimers, no lots of explanation. I feel like I'm waiting and listening and really sitting at the feet of the Lord, because it's not enough. Yes, I could get up and tell you, here's the date of Galatians, here's the breakdown, the theological outline, here's all the historical notes, lay it, and you could go, wasn't that interesting? Probably even a cute little application here and there, and that would be fine. But I'm really listening, because I believe that the message in the book of Galatians has a timely and prophetic implication for the church, this church and the church, and I'm listening for more downloads. So as I'm studying and listening, we'll launch into this a little bit at a time, but I don't want to necessarily just give an exhaustive Sunday school lesson and leave it at that. So be praying with me that the Lord gives us, like Jesus, whenever he spoke, he would conclude it with something like this. He did it in his earthly ministry and in the book of Revelation. Remember what he would say? He who has ears to hear, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. So it's not enough just to hear the words. We must hear what the Spirit is saying. What is the Spirit? We have the testimony of Scripture. What is the Scripture testifying to? What are we supposed to learn? What are the prophetic imperatives as we principalize the passage? Yeah. All right. But we're not going to go there today. All right. So today I want to talk to you about how and why, but really just the how, because we don't have time for why. We'll do that next week. This has come up because of lots of conversations and lots of prayer and lots of Lord being woken up at night thinking about things. So I feel pressed to address the answers to two fundamental questions. And from now on, I'm going to really try to stick to my notes, otherwise we will have problems. And I want to talk about how we do church and why we do it. Now, for this to mean something, for it to matter, for it to be relevant, it's got to be more than just church. It has to pertain and be able to be applied to your life. And it does. It's not enough. It is an insufficient objective to simply say, well, let's talk about virtues and values about in the church. If those don't apply to all of life, then we've missed something. Because the gospel covers the entirety of our life. The Lordship of Jesus is about the entirety of our life. And the mission of the kingdom covers the entirety of our life. Amen. Went there somewhere. Amen. Mid yawn. Nice. Anyway, it's all right. It's okay. It happens. So I want to talk about virtues and values. Would you say those two things out loud? Virtues and values. Now, I'm not talking about a business plan. I'm not talking about a corporate strategy. I'm not just talking about all of the little cute little buzzwords that have come out in paperback books for the last 50 years. Talking about fundamental virtues and values that answer fundamental questions. How should we live? Why are we here? How many believe those are pretty important questions? And that's what I'm talking about. How should we live? Why are we here? If we can't answer these questions and live in pursuit of those answers, then we're just busybodies. So when we ask how should we live, we're talking about virtues. We're talking about the manner and culture and climate of the church, which I would say, again, could just as easily insert the manner and climate and culture of your house, your heart, your minivan. That might take more faith. And when we ask, why are we here? We're talking about values. We're talking about the priorities that inform our activity and that shape our goals and guide our plans and our ministry. These values too can and should, they should work everywhere. They are not limited to just being valuable in this building. So, by way of preview, let me just preview what we're going to be talking about today and next week. So we talk about virtues. Today we're going to talk about these three things, and I'm going to finish. Okay? We're going to talk about love, honor, and hope. I know there's a ton of virtues that we could list, but I believe these spring from faith and contain and cultivate everything good. Love, honor, hope. Would you say those three things out loud with me? Love, honor, hope. Now, the values, we talk about the values expressed in, we'll express our values that we want to, that express, you know, why we do what we do. We'll express those in purpose statements. And I've been trying to, you know, go over and over, go over these again and again with different teams and ministry groups. The first, our first value at Heritage Church is to experience the presence of God in worship and fellowship. We were created to know God, to enjoy His presence, and we were created to share the joy of His presence one with another. This goes to the fundamental purpose of our existence. Our first value is to experience the presence of God. Now, I don't want to get too ahead. We'll talk about this next week. So if you have questions about this, we will answer them next week. But let me say this. This is why. This is the primary reason why. Why do we do missions and evangelism? Someone might say, well, why isn't that one of your core values? Well, because missions and evangelism is not an end. It is a means to an end. Missions exists only because somewhere worship does not. The purpose of evangelism is to bring more people into the knowledge of Jesus Christ so that they can experience the presence of God in worship and fellowship. It's why we do what we do. Secondly, second value is to equip believers to fullness, to abundant life, to grow in maturity so they can experience abundant life. Jesus came as a whole person to redeem the whole person so that the entirety of our persons might begin to experience abundant life. So that's why we work on all kinds of stuff to edify and build up the body, and we'll look at some scriptures and stuff about that next week. The third thing is we are here to empower every believer to pursue the call of God. Someone say every believer. Every believer has a call of God in their life, and we want everybody to be empowered to pursue that call. And that looks like all kinds of different things. That's why we look for people to respond in the auditorium as we gather to say, I feel like the Lord is saying this or wants to do this or has this to say, I feel this. It's why I have you pray one for another. It's why I have daddies or mommies baptize their kids. We want to empower people. You're the body of Jesus Christ. Now the answer, church, this is important. The answer to how and why depend on where you start. And in the kingdom of God, we start and finish with faith. Everybody in the house say faith. Faith. The Christian life is a life of faith from first to last. We live by faith. That's why I don't list faith as a primary virtue, because that's like listing breathing as a primary virtue. Faith, you are alive because of faith. Faith gives us life as believers. Listen to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Saving everyone. Would you say that with me? Saving everyone. The Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. From start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. So, church, we live by faith, and faith is all we have. But how does faith live? How do we give expression to our faith? The how and why, our virtues and our values come out of faith. They are driven and fueled and accomplished by faith. All right, so having said that, let's talk about how. How we do church and life, or how we should. The first virtue is love. Everybody say love. Why? Why do we say love? Because Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 says this. The only thing that counts, or the only thing that matters. How many think you should pay attention when Paul says that? How many want to know the answer to that? Yeah. The only thing that matters is, drum roll please, Paul says, faith expressing itself through love. So if we live by faith, the first thing that matters is that faith finds expression or gives expression through love. And love is so important that without love, faith has no means of expression. If we want to engage and release and make our faith active, there's only one way to do it. Love. And so if it's like this, you can almost say, hey, you say, oh, Lord, I wish I had more faith. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you just love? If we will practice loving more, we will open up the door, the reservoir, for faith to be released. Amen. Your faith will increase, consummate with the increase in your love. Or at least the activity of your faith. Start using the old timers just to say, if you want more faith, use the faith that you have. All right? Well, how do I use the faith that I have? Love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself, or that faith which worketh by love. So if you don't have love, your faith don't worketh. How come my faith ain't worketh-ing? Because you ain't loving. That's good enough to skip right there, but we've got more to talk about. And we're just getting warmed up. So let me just say this. The greatest, Paul says, the greatest of these virtues is love. Love is the chief virtue. 1 Corinthians 13:13, the greatest of these is love. Love is what carries and conducts the very energy and power of the Spirit. We've said it before, if we don't have love, if we have everything else, but we don't have love, Paul said, you don't got nothing. Right? Love leads the way. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love. Galatians 5:14, Paul says, love fulfills the law of God. Jesus said, if you love me, John 14:15, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. What's that mean? That means that love for God precedes and promotes all obedience. The way if that love for the healthy, thriving love will lead to a life of holiness. It will promote it. It will become natural. Love for others compels all ministry. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, he said, for the love of Christ compels us. Why did Paul keep going back out there and trying to convince men and persuade men and lay his life on the line and give his life in demonstration for the kingdom? Because he said, the love of Christ compels us. We are literally pressed by the love of Christ to do what we do. How? Everything that we do must be done by and in love. That's how we love. That is how we roll. Love leads to the next virtue I want to talk about. Love creates hope. Now I want to let that selah in your heart for just a minute. Selah, if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's a word you'll find in the book of Psalms where the psalmist stops to give expression or reflection as to what he just said. It's an invitation to pause and think about that, you might say. So let's say it again. Let me say this again. Love creates hope. Love creates, generates hope. Psalm 13:5 says, but I trust in your unfailing love, and my heart rejoices in your salvation. Psalm 47, verse 11, the Bible says, the Lord's delight is in those who put their hope in His unfailing love. And 1 Corinthians 13:7 says this, love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love generates hope. God's love creates hope, so then hope is a virtue we live by. Hope determines, hope defines. Hope is one of the hows. How do we do all this? What's the culture of this house, and what should be the culture of your house? Hope. Hope should be on the thermostat of your life. Set it to hope. Hope, like love, faith. Our faith is a necessary partner with hope. If faith worketh by love, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So for what faith does is it looks for things hoped for. If there's no hope for, there's nothing for your faith to do. Faith, hope is the storehouse. Hope is the storehouse where faith looks to and reaches for things that are not yet to be brought into existence. Without hope, faith lies dormant. So hope is an absolutely necessary, vital thing. Hope is what faith reaches for. We embrace and cultivate hope in this house. Hope is the joyful anticipation of God's goodness. Hope calls for what can be and what should be. Hope believes for the best. A people of hope are full of joy, and they are patient, and they are positive. So we approach people and circumstances and challenges with hope. No matter what your past, no matter what your mistakes, no matter what your failures, we meet you with hope. No matter what your diagnosis, we meet you with hope. No matter what your pain, we meet you with hope. Hope knows that all things are possible. Hope says and hope declares Jesus Christ is your healer. He's your helper. He's your deliverer. He's your good shepherd, your rock, your shield, and your strength. Hope says He is more than enough, no matter what. Hope knows that God is good right
now.
Hope knows that God has good things for us and good things for us to do. Hope greets each new day by leaning into the unfailing love of God. Hope, like love, also should influence the way that we relate to each other. What does it look like when we begin to relate to one another with love and hope? It looks like honor. It looks like honor. Honor is a rare virtue. It is powerful because in addition to love and hope, honor is made up of gratitude and humility. Honor is what happens when we clothe ourselves with humility toward one another. Honor is what happens when we actually do what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. He says, in humility, consider others as better than yourselves. Well, that is not the American way. Now, Paul is not here endorsing some sort of self-loathing, insecure, codependent nonsense. He's not saying, you're not as good as anybody. I can't say that, but you're no good. He's not saying you should look at yourself in the mirror and say, you're no good, you're no good, you're not as good as you. He's saying, consider, treat others. Consider them, treat them, look upon them, relate to them as if they were better than you. Not believe that you're less than, don't pervert the truth here. But his honor is simply, When you clothe yourself with humility toward other people, you're honoring them. Honor is what happens when we respect the anointing of God's Spirit on one another. Honor is what happens when, because of faith, we value people for their potential and not evaluate them by their failures. Honor is the rejection of a competitive spirit and the presence of a collaborative spirit. Honor does not seek to evaluate and criticize, but it seeks to perceive and to encourage. Honor is what happens when we appreciate the sacrifice, service, and faithfulness of others. Please stay with me there. Honor is what happens when we appreciate the sacrifice and the service of others and the faithfulness of others. Honor is why it's great that we sing new songs, and honor is why we remember to sing songs from our history. Because it's those songs that got us here. Amen went there. Honor is why it is blasphemous that so much in the church growth movement has sought to ostracize the aged. Blasphemy. Not in this house. God help us. Not that we're perfect, but we are pursuing it. Honor is respecting God-given authority without resentment or rebellion. But honor is accepting God-given responsibility to lead with humility and wisdom as servants. Honor is protecting the weak, and cherishing and investing in our young, and showing kindness to those who have no capacity to return the favor. Honor is being gracious instead of getting even. How many of you really think that every person who cuts in front of you a line did it on purpose just to get you? Huh? I was the victim of prejudice the other day. Yeah. Yeah. Non-kid prejudice. I was waiting in line to get into the kids club at the gym because my kids were in there. And I was just a, you know, dude. So this mom walked up with two kids. Clearly, because since I was a dude, I wasn't there for kids, right? So she just went right in front of me. And I thought to myself, how funny that moment was. I thought, this is hilarious. Because it would be easy for me to go, knock on the door real sarcastically. Hello. And I thought, and I began to imagine all these scenarios. Like, and I was lit laughing, like when she walked by, I go, you know, all the things, some people are like, well, yeah, of course. No, I was thinking of all the things that people do because they were treated unjustly. And they're going to get even. And I thought to myself, Lord, I'm just going to enjoy myself being gracious. I don't even care. This is great. That girl was in a hurry, and I'm all right. I've got to wait for my wife anyway. So I come in and the girl has registered what's happened, and like most people, she's freaking out. Were you waiting? Well, I'm sorry, you could have come in. And she's talking a mile a minute, trying to explain why she, you know, didn't mean to come in and why she thought I was just there for paper towels, because naturally I'm just a dude. And I had fun. I had fun being gracious. Oh, it's fine. You were obviously, I'm glad, man. You're in a hurry. I'm glad you can get your kids in there. Boy, I've been there, blah, blah, blah. Honor is doing good and right regardless of who sees or who gets credit. Right. Honor is doing what is right because it is an expression of your faith. Honor is getting up, showing up, and doing what's right, and then doing it again the next day. Yeah. I will. Honor is working a job you may not be too thrilled about, but working as unto the Lord anyway.
Yes, amen.
Honor is godly stewardship of our resources and assets. Honor is integrity. Honor is excellence. Honor is faithfulness. And that is how we roll. Apparently my wife finds that humorous. Well, that leads me to say, at least that's how we want to roll. When we say that we live by love and honor and hope, what I mean is, that is how we want to live. We're not saying that we have perfected these virtues. I'm saying we are in pursuit of them. And by faith, and because of faith, love and honor and hope will be the virtues of this house.